WHR with KK4JBQ and the RagJU portion of the Blue Ridge Team Internet. Yeah, you know, Larry, I was, you just reminded me, again, I know we kind of talk about nostalgic things, and whenever we talk about things, it kind of reminds me, you know, growing up, we used to heat the house with a wood stove. Of course, you know, the big box that, I guess that's what you call it. I mean, it's, we had, you know, central heat, but we lived in the mountains of Virginia, so we had plenty of, you know, trees, and I think Ray even mentioned, you know, when you cut logs, it keeps you warm two or three times. You know, you stay warm when you cut it, you stay warm when you stack it, you stay warm when you burn it. But I just remember a similar situation with the dry heat coming off of that, you know, stove. We would actually keep water on there and boil water from the top just to kind of get the humidity back up in the air because it was so dry. And that was, you know, one of my brother or I's job because we were downstairs next to where the wood stove was. Keep the stove stoked and the water in the pan. So, you know, you, like you said, you wouldn't have the dry nasal passage and everything. And you could breathe because, you know, you get that dry, humid heat. And of course, I know they joke about out west, go out west where it's a dry heat. But it's hard for me to breathe sometimes with that that dry heat, like you mentioned. And our house here, we use gas heat too, and sometimes same issue. It's definitely a dry heat sometimes, but it's funny, like you mentioned, the things that will wake you up. I'm not sure what the actual temperature range is, but there is a temperature range where I can sleep, and then if the heat will run too long and wake me up. And it's all, the only thing I can base it on is it gets a little too warm because I, you know, again, I want to kick the covers off or something. So I know it's been running for a while. You know how you have the thermostat with the temperature range where it kicks on at one temperature, it kicks off at the other. And so there's many nights where I'm like, just have to nudge it down just a little bit so it won't get warm enough to wake me up, if that makes any sense. So,
yeah, that makes sense. You can be too warm, flushed. If you feel flushed in the face, in particular, that's your first sign. Oh, you brought back some memories with wood stove heating. That's how my parents heated the first. Well, not the first house. I was born on an island in the Holston River. In East Tennessee. It was sacred ground to the Cherokee. I feel fortunate to have been born there, but and it had been, you know, when the Cherokee left, Europeans took it over and built a residential area. It became low-income housing, you might call it. And that's where I was born, in a little house there. And they had a heater. You may recognize, I'm sure there's people listening who recognize the name Warm Morning. It's a style of wood stove, very popular through the South, at least as far as I know. A Warm Morning heater. It's kind of a space heater, you know. It sat out in the middle of the room, or close to a wall where it was vented, but it was in the room and stoked with, oh, you could burn anything in that thing. You could burn wood, you could burn coal, you could burn newspapers if you didn't like what was being written in the newspapers. You know, did the same thing when you said you put a pot, like a kettle of water on the thing and let it add some moisture back to the air. Yeah. So that brought back some memories. Thank you for that. These ultrasonic humidifiers, they're fine. They're quiet. No heat really generated. And pretty reliable. This one, that's the first time it's acted up in a dozen years, you know. And that's the first one. We have several like it. throughout the house. They're good for one room, you know. So if you like your office with a certain level of humidity, you got to have one there. Got to have one in the bedroom. The kitchen sort of takes care of itself with food preparation and the like. The kitchen stays nice. I've had a humidistat, one of the little battery-operated humidistats that gives you the percent of relative humidity on it. It's pretty accurate. And I've taken that through the house, different rooms, let it sit there for half an hour or so, and recorded the differences between rooms. Not a real scientific thing or anything, but it gives you an indicator. And so the kitchen it stays nice. And dining room's right off of that, so that's okay. But some other rooms, they need a little augmentation. Anyhow, if anyone else is out there and has a little dry throat, perhaps this is the cause. If you wake up with a dry throat, if you wake up with nostrils that are burning as you breathe, well, that's definitely a lack of humidity in the air. There are ways I've heard of house plants that you keep watered, you know. Several other things. Just allowing water to evaporate, which it will, without being atomized or heated, water will eventually evaporate into the room. That'll help a tiny bit. Oh, anyway, so tell me something about your day. I've kind of run out. KK4 JBQ.
Didn't have a lot. Actually, we did reconnect with an old neighbor. We had planned dinner multiple times, and you know, for one reason or another, they had moved off the street. Probably, gosh, even before COVID. But we had kind of, you know, scheduled, you know, like a dinner, our neighbor group, you know, but for the last probably year or so, something had come up or something was scheduled or anything. So anyway, tonight was the night that we actually got to have dinner and fellowship, which was nice, and catch up with what was going on with our kids, their kids, grandkids, everything, which made it really nice. And you know, as we got ready to leave, we made that New Year's resolution kind of thing to continue to do this more often. And it seems like we always try and make that kind of promise, and then life kind of gets in the way. You know, and the sad thing is they're only, you know, the next town over. You know, they were right across the street. And not that we took advantage of each other, but it was nice to have that closeness, so to speak, where we could just kind of pass each other at the mailbox or out in the garage or, you know, up and down the street, just in the common occurrences throughout the day. And, you know, they move 10 miles away, 15 miles away, and then we go a year or a year and a half without seeing them, after they lived across the street for 15 or 20 years from us. And again, it was great because, again, it seemed like no time had passed. And it was great to kind of to fill in the little pieces that have happened. And I say little pieces, big pieces, you know, marriages, births, grandkids, all that kind of stuff. So it was great to catch up today. And again, it's just really good to reconnect.
Sir, KK4JBQ. It's one of the finer things in life, I think, to have a friend, especially if it's a whole house full of friends, you know. And you can lose track of people. I know from time to time I remember people from, that I went to elementary school with a whole lot of years ago. And I recall... I don't want to be a Debbie Downer or anything, but I recall one little girl. Her name was Sally. And Sally didn't talk at all. Sally sat in the back of the room. Sally was a very unkempt little girl. Her clothes were dirty. She was filthy most of the time. It was a sad thing. And because my eyesight was growing worse and worse, even at that young age, I sat in front of the room so I could see blackboard. You know, they used chalk back then on a blackboard. And every once in a while I think of Sally. And I say a little prayer that somewhere, somehow, I just hope that she's, that her life improved over time. So not every memory from long ago is pleasant, but whenever you think about people and wish them well, I don't know who that benefits. I won't know. One will never know. But somehow in the depths of everybody's heart, you have to, you just have to expect that everything's going to straighten itself out. I think about Sally and I think about how I wished, I really wished her life straightened out. And that's what I had to say about that. Gosh, I went off on a tangent there. Otherwise, it's been a great day here. It's always good to have you as our net control, Michael. I enjoy your net. You got a pace like nobody else, and I say that as a compliment. It's sort of like you listen to any commercial radio station that has a little talk on it. Most commercial radio stations are all music these days, but tune into a talk station, and those who are paid to talk will. And of course, when you're paying for that transmitter, be it 50,000 or 100,000 watts, the money's burning up, you know, every second. So you got to make it count. And every sentence leads into another sentence without much pause at all. It's a trained voice, which causes me to ask, is yours a trained professional voice? Is that just your cadence? I'm just curious. KK4JBQ.
And I appreciate the good comments. You know, again, not really. I can't say that it's trained. I mean, I try and think back to, you know, again, being in the military, and, you know, we used to have the 1MC where we had to do announcements, and I'm just trying to figure out where, when, or how. You know, it may have even come from my dad, from listening to him on his ham radio set when I was a child, but I don't remember him necessarily speaking, you know, different or anything. I mean, my wife makes fun of me all the time. She's like, you need to slow down. I was like, well, no, I don't necessarily need to slow down. It's just making sure it's understood in a efficient manner. So, but again, I try and think back, you know, and even doing like our announcements and stuff on the ship, when you had the 1MC, which is shipwide, and then we had our internal communications, which would go from, you know, our shack to the con and that kind of stuff. So different ways of talking and communicating back and forth. But I guess I'm going to blame the military on part of that, because, again, I usually relay some of the stuff you tell me to my wife, and she just kind of says, he doesn't know you very well as far as not being on the radio, because, again, I tell people all the time that in person I don't really talk that much unless I have something to say. But, you know, kind of the same thing with my ham radio. I listen a whole lot more than I talk unless I have a reason to talk, which is, again, what got me into doing net control, because it makes me key up the mic and actually have to talk on the radio. So, again, I can't say that I've ever had any voice trainings per se, but just listening to other people and trying to emulate, I guess, what I think or feel is a good way of voicing in tempo and calling the net, if that makes sense.
Perfect sense. Emulating your dad, that rings true to me. My dad was, he had a singing voice, just unlike anybody else that wasn't signed to a contract, you know, that wasn't making records. He could sing. And he would do so while shaving. He would do so while hoeing in the garden. And maybe that's where, you know, just out in the outdoors. You know, your voice is not going to carry for miles, so there's not that many people going to hear you when you're out in the field. I got to think that that's where he developed a really nice voice. So anyway, I did some stage work myself when I was a kid. Early 20s maybe, you know. I was on stage. That's where I lost some portion of my hearing, standing in front of big old amplifiers with, you know, that was meant to project the sound deep into an auditorium, and yet you were standing, oh goodness, maybe 3 feet away with no hearing protection. Those were the crazy days. But the reason I asked is that a lot of folks will think about what they're going to say before they say it. Now, some people don't. It rattles. That's one of my mama's words. It comes out of your mouth. Some other people, it comes out of your mouth in a stream of consciousness. Just as quick as it comes to you, it's gone. It's out of your mouth. And I think that requires a different kind of wiring than those who think deliberately about what they're going to say and complete the thought, weigh and balance perhaps who is listening and the exact temperament of the moment. You know, I'm not like that. It just pops out. And we're a little bit alike there, Michael. KK4JPQ.
4HR, net control for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, and the RAGQ portion with KK4JPQ. Let this drop. I'm not sure if somebody else was keying up there.
KD2BAG. No, you do sort of, but the guy who was on this repeater who had the perfect voice for radio was WRARW. Robert, if he hasn't, I haven't heard him in like 2 years. He used to run this repeater. And I think he used to one time do a couple of, he had some broadcasting job at one time. But yeah, it is a certain voice, a certain cadence, a certain pronunciation, a certain intonation you have to have for radio. And, you know, it's not common. It's an uncommon way of speaking. It's, actually, what do they call it? They used to call it, as far as the voice pattern, they used to call it CBS English. It's kind of, or broadcast English. It's kind of a non-accented, neutral, I guess, Midwestern American accent. But WRARW, who I haven't heard in a while, he used to run, you know, sessions, net sessions. That was his sort of voice. But yeah, not a lot of people sound great on the radio.
Star with RAG 2 portion of the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with KK4JBQ, KD2BNG. Yeah, I know. I mean, again, personally, I'm not a fan of my voice. And again, I don't know if people like their voice. Like, occasionally I'll go back and listen to the Echolink node recordings just to make sure that my signal sounds good. And I'll ask my wife quite often, I'm like, is that what I sound like? And she'll say, yeah, that's you. I mean, you know, it definitely has the audio from the repeater or whatever, you know, so there's a little bit of clipping or whatever you would call it as far as radio. But yeah, it's always fun to get on and talk and listen and just see how things are going. But again, Larry, you mentioned a lot of times, you know, where the words just kind of come. That normally only happens for me when I'm on the radio, because normally I'm the opposite. I will think and stew and replay in my mind what I'm going to say over and over and over again to make sure I'm not using the wrong words or going to say the wrong thing. So that's why I get a little tongue-tied, because when I start thinking about what I'm going to say, that's normally when I run into problems. So.
Yeah, if you just let it pop out, drain of consciousness, as I said, you can put your foot in it in a second. And you know, if you're looking in the face of those who are listening, on the radio, I can't see you. And that's a difficult thing. I believe we had a whole course in college. I guess I've got to do a little backstory there. When I attended at least in the College of Business at ETSU, East Tennessee State University, the whole theme of the business college was working in teams. So every professor divided up their class into teams, three, four, five people on a team, and that's how you presented any of your findings, any reports, whatever that, you know, the team did the work. They chose someone to present. They were there to back up or to assist, perhaps, but you presented as a team. And it worked most times. Anyway, what you said earlier about voices, I don't know why I was reminded of this, but in my parents' generation, there was a group of sisters, the Andrews sisters. You might even remember hearing of them from time to time, but the Andrews sisters had the same vocal mechanism. They were all closely related siblings, you see. And so when they sang together, their whatever timbre they had, whether it was an alto, soprano, mezzo-soprano, whatever, was the voice characteristic, they blended so well. The Andrews sisters just blended so well. It was like listening to one voice. And Donna explained to me, because Donna's a music, she's been musically educated. She has a degree in practical music. Voice being her concentration. She said it's because of the genetics. How all the mechanisms that make up the voice, everything from the tongue to the larynx, of course, and the nasal passages, everything is similar in siblings. Well, that answered a big question for me. Why do siblings sound so good when they sing together? So when you said that sounding similar to your dad, well, some of that is passed on through genes, and some of it also may be that your patterning, your pattern of thought comes from your experience, of course. So you experience parents first. They teach you language in most cases. I'm sure it's your parents who teach you to speak. All that's very interesting, I'm sure, but it's way past the 10 o'clock hour, out of respect for anybody who's just hanging on. I think I'll stop here and say thank you again for calling the net. It's always a pleasure to be here and to be in the company of people I can't see. We'll talk with you later, Michael. This is KK4JBQ, and back to you, sir.
Well, as always, enjoyed the comments, and I appreciate you sticking around and keeping the finals warm up there on the repeater. It's a little chilly down here. I don't think it's getting quite as cold as they had predicted, but I can imagine it's probably cold and windy up there on the mountain. So, again, appreciate you sticking around, making a few comments, see if we can drum up a few more check-ins before we continue on with the rag chew portion here. So, Glenn, give me one sec. I'll check for some more check-ins, and we'll find out if you have any additional comments for us. But Alpha through Zulu, A through Z, beginning the suffix of your call, and you wish to check into the Blue Ridge G-Meter net tonight, please call AK4HR, net control. Additional check-ins. Glenn, I'm not sure what happened earlier when you were trying to check in, or not check in, but making some comments through Echolink. I guess the repeater or Echolink timeout timer may have come, or I'm not sure if your phone may have dropped out on the cell signal, but appreciate you sticking around and coming back and making some comments with Larry there. Did you have any more comments for us before we secure the net tonight?
Which are K2B and G. No, the only reason I came in on Echolink is my, you know, I can't hold a handheld microphone and mash the button for transmit. My fingers hurt. So I figured use Echolink where you could sort of just like casually talk in the background. And how far did I get? I started off with something about, yeah, okay, defense again. Now, I got the timeout on the radio, so the radio will time out, and I'll just chime in again. I started with, Defense Against the Dark Arts. Those of you who are familiar with the Harry Potter novels or the Harry Potter movies, Harry Potter was, of course, a young wizard who was sent to this school called Hogwarts, you know, where they educated witches and wizards in the ways of magic and sorcery and whatever. One of the required courses was a course called Magic Against the Dark... Defense Against the Dark Arts. Defense Against the Dark Arts was for the purpose of teaching sorcerers how to resist the powers of magic. You know, how to recognize what potions, curses, incantations, spells, whatever, are being used against you, and how to take countermeasures. I started off that way, and I started talking about what has been the worst day in American history since, you know, the worst day that I remember in my history, the January 6th, let's call it what it is, the January 6th terrorist attack. How did all these otherwise decent, sensible people, how were they so convinced about the lies that were told about stolen election, rigged election, whatever? How were they so convinced of these lies that they actually decided to march all the way from, you know, God knows where across the country to D.C. to actually break into the Capitol and, you know, threaten lawmakers with death if necessary if they didn't overturn an election that pretty much everyone agreed, you know, treason guy had fairly lost? So I was going to discuss the mainstream media and how the mainstream media used to be neutral and unbiased. And you hear the term mainstream media used a lot derisively. But the fact of it is, you know, back when you had newspapers, magazines, TV, radio stations, they, for the most part, were politically neutral because they had to appeal to both sides of the political spectrum. They could be neither liberal nor conservative because you risk off pissing off too many people and losing advertisers. Okay. So we'll use the timeout radio on my radio. Where was I saying? So the mainstream media, in spite of what you think, for the most part, actually was fair and balanced. Now, start in the 90s and 2000s and the rise of the internet, but even before that, but the rise of the alt media. The alt media really didn't have didn't have to labor under those constraints. They didn't have to be fair or impartial or necessarily even truthful. So you had the, and they were, you know, you look at social media and search engines. Search engines and social media serve up content based on what you, quote, liked, you know, the last time you were there. So based on what you like, we're going to take you deeper and further into a partisan rabbit hole, a partisan bubble, a reality bubble, in fact. So you have the creation of alternate media, which recently has nothing to do even with reality. It's almost like we're living on two parallel planets. You know, you've got Earth Prime, and you've got alternate Earth, which, you know, I don't know. You have entire populations believing that somehow a fair election was... Okay, so we'll the radio, my radio will handle it. Somehow, a free and fair and election was by a means that Penn and Teller and David Copperfield couldn't figure out, was somehow stolen. I don't know, using internet-connected thermostats, or Italian spy satellites, or Jewish space lasers. You know, when I was going to get into the whole thing about conspiracy theories, why so many Americans believe in conspiracy theories to the point that, again, we've created this alternate reality. In fact, what is it about January? Yeah, what did I read about January 6th? 25% of the American electorate believes that somehow the FBI or some other infiltrators, January 6th was a result of Antifa or BLM or FBI agents or whatever. Yeah, really. Or, the radical left. Like, the radical left would actually try to have a riot, an insurrection, to steal the results of an election they already won. So, you know, the growing unreality that we're facing, the rejection of truth. So we need to have a course in... What I'm going to say is defense against the dark arts. We need to educate people about how to recognize and how to resist the effects of misinformation, the effects of propaganda, the effects of brainwashing. How to recognize when the techniques of propaganda are being used against you. How to recognize when you're someone's trying to brainwash you, trying to gaslight you, trying to get you believe in unrealities. Was it Voltaire who said, he who can get you to believe absurdities can get you to commit atrocities? This is a very, very real danger to our political system, because democracy depends upon Democracy depends on having an informed electorate, not necessarily an electorate that knows every detail of every bill, but at least has common sense. And, you know, when you have people who believe that Jewish space lasers and satanic pedophilic rituals conducted in the basement of pizza parlors are real, but, you know, global warming and COVID are false, then they don't have, you don't have a good grip on reality. And that's what I was basically trying to... time out, so we're on for at least 10 minutes. Yeah, no, that's what happened to me before, is Echolink may have cut me off. But, you know, this, on the third anniversary of what's been the worst day of the Republic in 50 years, I was trying to at least get a conversation going about... That's why I deliberately chose the title of Defense Against the Dark Arts. Well, you know, J.K. Rowling chose that title, but it seems apropos. Defense Against Propaganda, Brainwashing, Misinformation. You know, which we in America are especially susceptible to because, you know, 50 or 60 or 70 years of Madison Avenue advertising. We're conditioned to accepting advertising. You know, we're lacking in this country the ability to distinguish reality from fantasy. Maybe that has to do with the educational system. Maybe we don't teach enough about history, or even enough about science. STEM? Science, technology, engineering, mathematics. You know, things about what could plausibly affect a voting machine, you know, other than gamma rays from Mars. Time out. But I'm probably going on too long. But, you know, I'd like to call it with this segment again. And I'll call it, you know, Defense... And that's a great title, Defense Against the Dark Arts. So let this be, you know, and the first propaganda technique I'll talk about is the big lie. You know, which goes back to the 1930s to Nazi Germany, and it simply says, if you repeat the lie often enough, loudly enough, frequently enough, it basically becomes the truth. Election stolen, stolen election, fraudulent election, blah, 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 blah. But let me ask you this. Treason guy has been claiming since 2020, or even since 2016, the electoral process is fraudulent, the vote is fraudulent. What evidence have you ever presented of this? And even in the wake of the 2020 election, his own Homeland Security, his own Attorney General, the people he hired, said, no, there's no evidence of fraud in the 2020 election. We'll get into this later. I mean, we can make this a regular segment. Defense of the Dark Arts. Resistance against propaganda, misinformation, and brainwashing. I do have some experience here because I myself, years ago, pretty much fell into that rabbit hole myself for a brief period. The dark side of media, propaganda, misinformation, lies, whatever, can be very seductive. It sounds plausible. It sounds reasonable. It sounds true, but it isn't. And there's ways to tell the truth from a lie. There's ways to tell when someone's trying to gaslight you. And that is more important now, more than ever in this country's history, because we're heading into an election that will literally decide the future of this country. And what's at stake is no less than what form of government we're going to have. Democracy or tyranny. Freedom or fascism. That is literally what is at stake in the 2020 election, the 2024 election. And I don't want to think about what happens if treason guy manages to slither, squirm, crawl, or creep his way back into the Oval Office for a second term. It will be a nightmare. It will be the end of democracy, the end of the rule of law, the end of this country. And now I'm not trying to be political. I'm sure a lot of these people on this repeater may be aware of my political views, but I actually am not a political person, and I'm really not an opinionated person. Everything I say is actually based pretty much on facts and verifiable information. And then we'll call it quits on this transmission. So, I'm going to be back again for, chapter two of, Defense of the Dark Arts, Resistance to Propaganda, and Misinformation and Brainwashing. How to recognize when these techniques are being used against you and how to resist them. And, more on that later. Back to you.
4HR, net control for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with KD2BNG Glenn on the RAG 2 portion of the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. And Glenn, yeah, definitely some stuff to think about, but I just go back to my, I can't remember the actual saying. It's like something about most of the stuff I learned about life I learned in like first grade, which sounds like an oversimplification, but, I try and work within my small group, my friends and neighbors. Talk to them, turn off the TV. Again, do no harm. That's one of my big things. Help where you can and make where you are better when you leave. And again, those are the rules I kind of live by, and everything else kind of goes by gravy. But definitely appreciate the comments and appreciate, you keeping the finals up there on the mountain warm for us. But we'll go ahead and see if we have any additional comments or if we have any additional check-ins for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net before we secure. Please call AK4HR, net control for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, Alpha through Zulu. Any additional check-ins or additional comments before we secure tonight, please call net control.
Net control. Kilo Golf 4, Juliet India Alpha, that's KG4 JIA Dennis and Gaffney.
Down in the noise, but let me go ahead and acknowledge Dennis's check-in here first. It's Kilo Golf 4, Juliet, India Alpha, KG4, JIA, and Dennis is over in Gaffney. Dennis, appreciate you burning the midnight hour, so to speak, or the midnight oil. What's to say? I can't get to say. But anyway, staying up late with us and checking in. Good signal all the way from Gaffney into the repeater tonight, Dennis. Appreciate you coming by. One more time, Dennis, call sign Kilo Golf 4, Juliet, India Alpha. And again, there was another station in there, but you're kind of low down in the noise. Go ahead and recheck with me, over.
Yes, sir. Mark, this is KQ4 NHB. This is Danny again down here in South Greenville. Can you hear me now?
Hey.
I'm new to the ham. I just got my technician class December 16th. I have thoroughly enjoyed this meal. But I do believe that this is going to be my last check-in. I've got better things to do than listen to Glenn be the dead horse of death. This is the United States of America Steel. The man is proven innocent, or a man is assumed to be innocent, to be proven guilty. We all have our thoughts. We all have our claims, thrills that we ride. I'm not a fan of Harry Potter. I don't feel we're in the dark horse. Try to walk in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, the Lord Jesus Christ says, if you have no forgiveness in your heart, you're not one of them. I have my thoughts, more so than probably most people out there. And I have forgiveness every day, and I truly.
We're cutting in and out. out a little bit on most of that, but I think I got most of it. And I appreciate you coming by and making a few comments for us. And definitely come back and check in again with us. Again, run across all kinds of people with differing opinions on the ham radio. Again, normally we keep politics off the radio, and so we'll do a better job of that. But, again, appreciate you coming by and checking in with us. Danny, you're sounding good a little bit. I think you may be running the HT. You're cutting in and out just a little bit. But definitely come back and check in again with us if you can. So good to hear you, my friend, and we'll talk again soon. All right, let's go ahead and give one more call. Alpha through Zulu, A through Z, beginning the suffix of your call. You wish to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net tonight, please call AK4HR, net control.
4HR and 4ZLK. I just wanted to make a couple comments. I'll be brief. First of all, Danny down there, welcome to the hobby. Please don't give up on the net because of tonight. It's not normally like this. A lot of good guys on here, and normally keep the, well, anyway, you know what I'm saying. Just don't give up on it because of tonight. And welcome to the hobby. I think you'll enjoy it, and I hope you can meet a lot of good people around here. Back to you and Larry talking. I don't know if Larry's still listening or not, but I always enjoy listening to Larry. A lot of times I'm driving down the road headed to Atlanta or something, and his voice can almost put me to sleep talking about voices on the radio. So I have to put some toothpicks in my eyes. He's got a voice that is very calming, and I enjoy Larry. And he was talking about the Andrews sisters. I've got two daughters that kind of close in age, about 18 months apart. And when they start talking at the same time, something's going on, and they both answer at the same time, it's very hard to tell which one was speaking because they can sound so much alike. I love it. It's pretty incredible. They're so different, but yet they've got that sibling quality that just puts them right together, and you can't tell them apart when there's a lot going on and they get excited. But anyway, that was my comment. I enjoyed the net tonight, what bit I heard of it, and I appreciate you calling it. Mike, I hope you have a good evening. N4ZLK, back to net.
Bunch of RNet control for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Yeah, Shane, I appreciate you coming by and making a few comments. Like I say, yeah, Larry's voice, I've commented before, I kind of call Larry, Larry's voice is kind of a jazz voice. It's kind of smooth and soothing, and like you said, it's and not in a boring way, in any way, shape, or form, but just in that calming kind of ocean, you know, the little sound effects things. But I know when they used to have the late night net, again, I think I've commented before, and some of those folks would stay up, and I would just kind of drone off to sleep while the folks were talking about whatever they were talking about, you know, solving the world's problems. But, I have to agree with you, though. Larry's voice is definitely one of those special ones, too. And I was trying to find the saying. I can't remember who used to say it or something very similar. I've got a voice for TV and a face for radio kind of thing. That's how I feel sometimes. But anyway, Shane, definitely appreciate you coming by and making a few comments, extending that out a little bit longer. And definitely for coming by and welcome Danny back in. So like I say, Danny, come back and check in with us. Normally, you know, we can work with you to try and get your signal back up a little bit. I'm not sure if you're coming in on an HT, that kind of stuff. But definitely don't give up on the net yet. And got a lot. People, a lot of good folks in the area on this repeater, and I appreciate you guys coming by and listening and checking in, because again, the net's for you. We wouldn't have the net without everybody in the area checking in. Again, a good opportunity to fellowship and discuss and have some conversations just to find out how things are going with folks. But give one more call here, Alpha through Zulu, A through Z. Additional check-ins to the Blue Ridge 2-meter net tonight, please call AK4HR net control. Long pause means we have everybody, so I'll give one final call. Haven't missed anyone for comments or check-ins. Please call AK4HR net control.
Go. More time. I wanted to say thank you for calling the net tonight. I know it's been particularly challenging, perhaps. It was here, and I appreciate the way you held up through it. Thank you so much. warrior efforts, as trying as it may be at times. And thank you to Shane and to yourself for the nice words said. I certainly appreciate it. Whenever any of us speak to the world, and this is particularly true when you've got a microphone in front of your face, it engenders a responsibility, and knowing who your listeners are. That's what I'll say about that. Good night to everyone, and I hope you sleep well. Have a great day tomorrow. And Michael, you've been an excellent net control tonight. 7-3 to you. KK4, JBQ, clear.
Char? Yes. Mike, I just want to say thank you for calling the net. And Danny, don't give up on the net. It's not like this very often, and sorry you had to endure, as the rest of us did. And Mike, thank you for enduring and handling it the way you did. You did a good job, and I appreciate that. Thank you for calling in, sir. KO4HKX.
Yeah, I appreciate the, you guys coming in and making those comments. Appreciate that for coming in here. And we're headed towards the 11 o'clock hour here, so we'll go ahead and give one final call. Alpha through Zulu, A through Z, beginning the suffix of your call. And wish to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net tonight, please call AK4HR, net control. Long pause means we have everybody for the evening. So this is AK4HR. Asking for one final time. Have I missed anyone for comments or check-in? I have everybody, and I believe Patrick, KO4HKX, is on the schedule to call the net tomorrow night, so I know he'd appreciate everybody coming back and checking in with him tomorrow night. Stand by. I'll go ahead and pass my net report, and then we'll secure the net. K4HR, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with our thanks for all the stations that have checked in. Remember and try and do your best and keep that magic RF smoke inside the components where it belongs and come back and check in again tomorrow night. We'll now return the repeater back to its normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless.